descending from atop the highest mountains of pop culture and delivering the knowledge of media you seek. This is the Geek Peek Podcast. Descending from atop the highest mountains of pop culture and delivering the knowledge of media you seek.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Geek Peek Podcast. We're finally in October and spooky season is here in full force. Today we'll be talking about some of our favorite horror movies that you may have never even heard about. Whether you haven't heard of these films before or maybe you have and they've just flown under your radar, we're here to let you know they're well worth the watch. If you like our content, hit us up on facebook.com/geekpeekpodcast. You can also find us on Twitter and Instagram at GeekPeekPod. I'm joined today by my co-hosts, Chris Melvin and Trent Sherrod. How are you boys doing?
Hello, hello. I'm doing very good, friend. How are you doing, other friend, Chris?
What's up, guys? Happy first day of October, and welcome to Frappuccino season. Pumpkin spice.
The pumpkin spice latte. It's back, boys.
Also known as Ugg boots and yoga pants season with North Face jackets that are way too warm.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my white girl on.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, indeed. Let's get into it. Oh, okay. Go on. All right. No. You got stories to tell.
I was going to have a little anecdotal story about living in Tallahassee.
Hit me with it.
It was like September 15th and bitches were breaking out the Ugg boots.
Here in Florida, that's just unacceptable. What are you thinking?
75 degrees walking across Landis Green in Ugg boots and a North Face.
They had some hot feet, dude.
All right, if you're a foot person, FSU is where to be around September and October.
No. We cannot give our school
I meant temperature wise for those of you out there listening. It was a little joke.
That was a bad joke.
So let's go ahead and move on from this subject.
Okay.
All right. Let's get into the drinks. Trent, please tell me what you're drinking. Let's get off this.
I've got like somewhat of a repeat of last week. I'm drinking Kettle One Botanical again, but instead of mint and cucumber, it's grapefruit and rosé.
Damn, that sounds good.
I like that.
I looked up that cucumber, the one that you had last week, and I'm looking into getting a bottle of that because it looks delicious. I think that's right at my.
It was really good, and I've got it. I've got a little lime in there, and I've also got. I bought a grapefruit.
Ooh.
I've never bought a grapefruit. Actually, there is one other time I've bought a grapefruit. I didn't buy it. My roommate Carlos did, and I told him to get oranges because I was making old fashions. And I was like, dude, these are grapefruits. Why did you? And he's like, no, dude, they're oranges. And I was like, they're enormous. These are clearly grapefruits. And I'm like, why did you think these were oranges? He's like, well, they said organic, so I just figured they're bigger. And I'm like, you idiot. Why would organic mean bigger?
Like, I love it.
So we got into a fight, and I hit him in the head with a grapefruit.
Good call. We used to have grapefruit fights in our backyard, actually. We have a grapefruit and an orange tree in our backyard, so we would always just like grab fruit off the trees or the ones that have fallen on the ground and just pelt each other with them. Good times.
They hurt. I have a slow-mo video that Samantha took in the middle of that fight where he hits me in the ass with a grapefruit, and it it left a mark. Did not feel good.
Emotionally anyway. And physically.
Yeah.
Moving on. Let's go ahead and get into your drink, Brandon. What are you drinking on this week?
Okay. I'm drinking Good Life Brewing out of Bend, Oregon. Gloves IPA, or sorry, I said gloves. G Loves IPA, special sauce, the juice, glove, bruh. So this is an IPA
special that's sauce. Based off of I already like the name of that beer.
Yeah, it's based off G Love and the Special Sauce, which is a band. He is actually was also in Slightly Stupid, I believe, at one point. But this is a nice citrusy IPA. It's very smooth, sitting at 6.8%. It's a good one. I recommend it. What about you, Chris? You got something a little bit different, something I'd never even heard about today.
Yes. So I have Crown Royale Peach. Now, I'm sure most of you are familiar with Crown Royale, but I guess it's Crown Royal. I always call it Crown Royale. But anyways,
it means you watch a lot of Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. Anyways, the peach flavor, though, I don't really drink any other Crown Royal at all. And the peach is, it rises above its competitor. 70 proof, so 35% alcohol. I don't know really what to say outside of if you put it with iced tea or water, it is phenomenal. I mean, you could really, this stuff, you could put bottles down, no sure, no problem.
Oh, I bet with iced tea, that sounds,
yes.
Yeah. Iced tea with that sounds excellent. Nice little summer drink. But we're moving into fall. You got to get rid of the summer drinks now.
Yeah, I know a lot of people like Crown, but this was one of in our fraternity, you had like families of liquor, and mine was the Crown family. So you can only imagine the amount of Crown I drank back then. And so I can't even have it in a mixed drink. Like I can't have the only stuff I can even stomach is like if I do the Crown Maple with orange juice, because it just tastes pancakes and orange juice. But a lot of people like Crown. It's kind of unfortunate. I just can't drink it anymore.
Trent, you have to try the Crown Peach, though. I'm telling you, I'm not a fan of the apple. The maple is okay in OJ. That's a little catchphrase I've patented there.
It's good pretty much only for a breakfast shot.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and get into the music of the week. So for music of the week this week, I have two songs. One is A Good Song Never Dies by Saint Motel. Saint Motel is an awesome band. They're an indie rock band, but they have this very old school like dance hall vibe. I don't really even know exactly how to describe it, but the music makes you feel classy, but it's super groovy. So definitely check that one out. Again, A Good Song Never Dies. And then the other one is actually, I guess, not a song as much as it's a trailer for the album 21 Savage is about to drop. It's called Savage Mode 2. Now, I would normally not hype up a trailer for an album, but it's narrated by Morgan Freeman. And it's also a homage to a bunch of different horror films. So I would definitely recommend checking it out. It's fairly short. Savage Mode 2. I showed both the guys and they thought it was cool as well. So
I watched it and I got very Stephen King vibes from.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
That elevator opening up.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. So let's go ahead and get into the news for this week. So Trent, I know we talked about this a couple weeks back and you just watched it. So give us a rundown of the Comey rule.
The Comey rule. So that just dropped a few days ago on Showtime. So if you don't subscribe to Showtime specifically, you can get it as a bundle with Hulu, which is what I did. And it takes place in the months leading up to the election, the 2016 presidential election, and thereafter. You guys know what happened. And there was the Hillary Clinton email scandal, and it kind of follows Jim Comey and his decisions on whether or not it needs to be investigated. It talks about their decision to not press any charges and then reopen the investigation before the election and the implications of that. So you guys know the story. And then they get into the Russian interference in the election and post ballots. The first two episodes talk about the first month of Trump's presidency. I haven't seen the third episode yet. It's not out. But the acting is absolutely incredible. Brendan Gleeson and Jeff Daniels as Jim Comey and Donald Trump absolutely kill it.
Yeah, I need to check that one out. And what network is that one on again?
It's on Showtime. So you could subscribe individually, but if you subscribe to Hulu, you can bundle. You can do a free trial
And then after that, it's a bundle for like, I'll be canceling it right after. There's nothing else on Showtime I want to watch.
I hear that. By the way, fans, we kind of skipped over Brandon's song, and that's totally on me. So let's double back for just a sec. Brandon, what is your song of the week, please?
It is all good. Okay, so for the month of October, I wanted to be featuring songs that would be excellent at Halloween parties for you guys to scoop up and use yourselves. This week, I wanted to feature No Vampires, Remain in Romania by King Luan. Super funny song. I actually was introduced to it through the show What We Do in the Shadows, and it really stuck out to me as it played during one of the end credits of season one. So check that out and jam that at your next Halloween party.
Ooh. I like that. I like that theme you got going. I'm excited to hear some of these.
Oh, yeah.
I know we'll be having some Halloween parties.
Yes, sir.
All right, so we'll get back into the news. Fargo season four dropped as well. So Fargo is based off of the Coen Brothers film of the same name in the early 90s. That's a great movie. If anybody hasn't seen it, you need to go watch it. The series is an anthology series. So each new season is a new story. It follows new characters. And this season takes place in the 1950s, and it follows a kind of mob battle for control of the Kansas City mob between Italians and an African-American gang that has been like coming up in the streets. And what's really cool about it is at the very intro of the episode, there's a girl that's writing like a book report, and she's talking about how the mob has advanced since the 20s in Kansas City. And it's basically just like, the Jewish control it, and then they try and partner with the Irish, and the Irish fuck them over and kill them. And then the Irish partner with the Italians, and the Italians fuck them over and kill them. And then now you've got Chris Rock, who is amazing in this show, by the way. And he's the leader of the African-American group that's trying to come in and take over the Italians. It's really cool. They do a thing where, to gain trust with each other, they give each one of them their youngest child, kind of like Game of Thrones, where they send them to live with like a ward to create alliances.
So, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's interesting. The acting is, again, phenomenal. So the Comey Rule, Fargo season four, they both dropped their first two episodes, so you can go see those. And then I would imagine they're releasing new episodes weekly after that. So definitely go give those a look. Also, nice. Fargo season four is currently showing on FX, and you can watch it one day after the episode premiere on Hulu.
Next up, we've got Borat number two being announced.
Hell yeah. I love it.
First of all, I didn't even know they were making a Borat two. I am going to read the full title, but we will call it Borat two for time's sake. Borat, gift of pornographic monkey to Vice Premier Mikhail Pence to make benefit recently diminished nation of Kazakhstan.
That's so ridiculous. I love it.
What in the fuck?
So this was a sleeper. It's going to be released October
23rd. Oh, wow.
So all hands on deck. It's coming real soon. It'll be out before the election. I imagine it obviously has something to do with Mike Pence.
I saw a trailer for it. There's definitely a lot of Trump rallies in the trailer.
Oh boy.
I'm sure it's going to be hilarious. I'm looking forward to it. Speaking of which, the debate happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Or 2 days ago, excuse me. I got to say, the only thing we're going to talk about it is, holy shit, that might be the scariest thing I'm going to see all of October. Then that's all we're going to say.
It was truly terrifying.
The true horror stories in real life.
So let's keep the theme going. Brandon, you've got some updates for us on one
of my favorites. Speaking of horror, let's talk about a horror video game. We mentioned it before, but Left 4 Dead 2, The Last Stand, the community made update for Left 4 Dead 2, the first one that's come out in a decade, is out now. So gather up your friends and go knock some zombies down. It introduces, I think it's like 16 new maps.
Yeah.
It's a good amount of content.
It's a ton of content. I have it. I have not actually played it because I've been very busy, but I do have it, and me and my squad will be getting on that soon, including Brandon. We'll report back in once we've played it a little bit. But I know it's made the lighthouse survival level that used to be, you know, the standoff where they just come at you in waves. Now that's a campaign mission. So I'm excited to see kind of what they do with that. That'll be cool. So I'm going to go ahead and get into a brand new streaming service, which is perfect for Halloween and obviously the 30 days leading up to it. It's called Tubi, T-U-B-I. It is free. You can get it on your Xbox or PlayStation. You can get it on your Roku devices. It has a ton of horror movies on there. I'm talking, it has all of the Hellraiser movies. It has all of the Reanimator movies. It has Ginger Snaps and all the sequels, Sleepaway Camp. A lot of these horror flicks that are, you know, you can't find them anywhere else. You know, you just, I would never have seen Ginger Snaps had I not been able to watch it for free. Unless I guess I could have bought it, but you know, that's money. So,
well, yeah, a lot of those are like locked behind paywalls. So it's awesome that there is an app out there that has all these kind of sleeper hit horror films for free.
And not even just horror films. Like, I'll just throw some of the top ones that I'm looking at right now. Memento by Christopher Nolan, Whiplash, Good Will Hunting. Apparently it has Hacksaw Ridge, Donnie Darko, Her. It has Train to Busan. So that's
some quality content for a free app.
Yeah, it really is.
It says it has Attack on Titan. Now, I don't know how much of it actually has.
Boo. Attack on Titan sucks.
I don't like that one either, but...
I like some anime.
Down over there.
Attack on Titan didn't do it for me.
Season one is great. I don't want to hear
Quick
it.
Quick shout out. It has Night of the Living Dead, the original one, and it's free. So if you're looking to watch Night of the Living Dead, the movie that basically started the zombie genre, that is free on Tubi. So check it out. I'm a big fan. I've been watching a lot of movies. A lot of movies we've been talking about have been available on there. So it's a recent discovery. Next up, we've got The Craft Legacy, which is a reboot done by Blumhouse. That'll be coming out in October here, very shortly, actually. And guys, did you get a chance to watch this one? Watch this trailer?
Yeah, I've watched it.
I have not seen the trailer.
It looks awesome. Yeah,
you have
I haven't seen
it?
The original, so I don't really know much about what they're remaking, but it looks great. And I'm down with anything Blumhouse is rebooting. I really hope that they do a reboot of Friday the 13th.
So I'll talk about this. I've seen the original. I'm a fan of the original. It's fun. It's teenage witches. It's kind of like Ginger Snaps, but witches instead of werewolves. And
okay.
The original one came out in 96, and this one has Michelle Monaghan and David Duchovny, two great actors. So I'm looking forward to this. I think the trailer was interesting. It may not be an amazing flick, but it'll be a fun late night horror flick you can watch leading up to Halloween. Speaking of new movies, Trent, hit us with some new James Cameron news.
Okay, so James Cameron announced that Avatar 2 is completely done filming. And they've actually finished 95% of Avatar 3. That's kind of interesting, yeah. Where they essentially filmed two movies at once.
That's how they did Lord of the Rings.
It's kind
of
smart. Yeah, it's smart. Makes sense. It's great.
I'm curious to see where they're going to take the story with Avatar after the first one, because it seemed like it ended off on a pretty in a pretty good spot with it didn't need any more conclusion.
I'm going to be one of the people that I'm going to say this, and I might get chastised for it, but I didn't see the hype behind Avatar. It was good. The plot, in my opinion, was nothing groundbreaking. The CGI was amazing.
It was Fern Gully.
The CGI was amazing, but other than that, I don't understand why it was the highest grossing movie of all time. I really don't get it.
It's because 3D was new at the time, and it was the big gimmick, and everyone bought into it. The movie itself is decent. It's got some shining moments in there, but overall, I agree. The plot is kind of... basic.
I'm coming in to disagree with both of you. While the plot may be basic, the reason you're seeing that movie is because it's a crazy CGI experience, and because it was that's one of the few movies that I think 3D was actually done well in.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
One of the only other ones was the one with Sandra Bullock, Gravity, I think. That's the only other one that I've been like, I will pay to see it in 3D.
Okay, Gravity fucked me up though. That was, I saw it, I believe I actually saw it with you, Chris, in IMAX 3D. And I was so anxious throughout that entire movie. I was not ready for what came at me. Again, I kind of see your point now in Avatar, because that movie, there's not a lot of plot to it. You know what I mean? It's just Sandra Bullock floating around in space.
But it was still a fun time. And that's what I feel like Avatar is. So while I don't think it necessarily deserves to be the highest grossing movie of all time, I will put the argument out that it's a fun movie. Now, how often do I rewatch it? Not a lot. So that says that's a lot the more thing. About
like, I think it was really good to see in theaters in 3D on the big screen, but it's something that I just don't normally go back to, you know? So I don't know. I guess we'll have to see with Avatar 2 and 3 what they're going to do, like what their major draw is going to be.
I heard the second one's going to be based in the ocean.
That's interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so that'll be a change up. I don't know. That's not confirmed, but that's the rumors going around. So why don't we go ahead and talk about another thing that's been rumored to have begun filming, or is going to before the year's end, I should say, Moon Knight on Disney Plus. Now, Brandon and Trent didn't know who Moon Knight was. The only reason I know who Moon Knight is due to Marvel Ultimate Alliance, where you can just play all the different heroes and they literally have everyone. Shout out to my boy Sean. We played so many late nights of that random game. But anyways, Moon Knight, amazing. He's kind of like, Trent compared him to the Black Prowler from
He does look like him, kind of.
Yeah, yeah. When you showed me him, I was like, and you told me what he's all about. I'm like, yeah, I'm getting a vibe of the Prowler from Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, I described him almost as a Robin type figure, or maybe a Nightwing, but he dresses in white and black, and obviously comes out at night and just lays a beat down. So I would definitely keep an eye out on that, because that's going to be very good if that comes out. I have very high expectations for that hero. And if you are into comic books and have not heard of Moon Knight, definitely check him out. Next up.
So I wanted to, before we get into our last news segment, I just wanted to give a little piece of sad news. There's trouble in paradise on the Indiana Jones 5 production. So Steven Spielberg left as director a few months ago, and we reported that James Mangold, the guy that directed Logan, took over, which we were all super happy about. But apparently they can't come together on a script. And that's partly between the screenwriter, David Cope, Harrison Ford, and Steven Spielberg. And so it seems like filming might not even be possible until mid-2021, at which point Ford will be 79 years old. So we'll see. We will see. But,
bring him back. Rocky 12.
I'm down for one last
Rocky,
attempt.
What do you mean, Rocky?
I know. Well, I'm saying they did the same thing with Sly Stallone, where he's like Rocky 12, but he's literally like basically geriatric at this point. And I coming out with this new Jackie Chan, Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. I don't know if you saw that. But
no, I haven't.
Old as all hell. I don't even know the name of that one, but it doesn't matter. They're both old as hell.
So all I'm saying is I hope they can bring this together. I'd like to see one last swan song for Spielberg and Harrison Ford, and hopefully they can put something better together than Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which I was a fan of, but critically panned. So we'll move on for that. Brandon, what you got?
All right. AMC Fear Fest 2020 is starting today, and it's going to be running all the way through Halloween. This is one of my favorite times of the year, watching all the horror movies that they feature on AMC. They're going to have a huge lineup featuring films like Halloween, Friday the 13th, Amityville Horror, Final Destination, Insidious, Children of the Corn, and so many more. They'll also be airing new episodes of The Walking Dead starting Sunday, October 4th, which will be followed by a series premiere of a new spinoff series, The Walking Dead World Beyond. I know.
Another one.
Another one. Also, Fear the Walking Dead is going to be returning for season 6 on Sunday, October 11th. So The Walking Dead is...
I thought they canceled.
It's coming back in full force, my dude.
I could have sworn they canceled Fear the Walking Dead.
You thought.
Guess not. Yeah.
What does Dead Man Ever Die?
But yeah, AMC Fear Fest 2020, get on it. Watch your horror movies and get into the Halloween spirit.
Join the Fest of Fear. Also, happy October.
Happy October.
So, Brandon, why don't you go ahead and start us off on our conversation today about underrated horror flicks?
All right, boys, let's get right into it. So, we're going to be talking about some of our favorite underrated horror movies, and then some of the horror movies that are just, they're so bad. So bad. But that's what makes them special, and that's why we think that you should watch them as well. We're going to tell you a little bit of why these underrated horror movies are underrated, or why we think they are at least, and why people should actually give them the attention that they deserve. So the first one that I want to talk about is Wrong Turn. So I think Wrong Turn, the entire series, gets a bad rap because it's one of those like movie series that it goes on and on. I think there's like four or five. There might even be six of them at this point. Seven even. I don't know. It goes on and on. But I think that the first one in particular stands out. It's a genuinely good horror flick. Great setting. Some of the kills are super brutal. It almost gets into that kind of like torture porn kind of genre. But personally, I think it's a great horror flick. So that's one that I definitely think you should have on your radar. It makes for a fun slasher night.
I want to jump in here and interject a little personal story real quick. When I was in college, we had a friend, shout out Bill. I don't really think he was a huge fan of horror flicks.
He's a fan of fucking trolling.
Yeah, he's a big fan of poking holes in horror films. And we were watching Wrong Turn because we love Wrong Turn. It's fun. It's about crazy hillbillies murdering you out in the like Appalachia. Just
put into perspective trying to watch this movie with Bill. If it was up to him, every movie that he would watch, well, the one movie that he would watch with people is Apocalypse Now over and over again.
Oh, but my you God. Got this guy, I mean, it's a great movie, but come on, bro.
Yeah, you got that guy trying to watch a horror movie called Wrong Turn with you. Continue, Chris. Yep.
Every single time they did anything, he's like, oh, look, it's another Wrong Turn. Every single decision they made. And most of the time he wasn't wrong, but it was.
Well, we were also drinking. One of the rules, one of the drinking game rules was if they make a wrong turn, drink. So we're all just getting wasted because Bill's like, oh, look, another wrong turn.
It was good times. Anyways, we'll go ahead and get into the next one, Trent.
Yeah, so for this next one, we've got Creep and Creep 2. One of the reasons I think this is an underrated film is I don't think most people have heard of it. It's kind of like a little sleeper hit on Netflix. It stars the guy that plays Pete from The League, the FX show about a bunch of dudes that are in a fantasy football league together. And the synopsis is kind of misleading. It's just like it talks about this guy that's kind of a loner, and a documentary filmmaker goes to kind of make a show about him, and he gets a little attached. But it's so underrated because that film freaked me the fuck out. I could not sleep after I watched it. There was actually the first time I watched it, Samantha fell asleep while I was watching it, and I was like, I can't watch this by myself. It was so unsettling and disturbing how psychologically messed up this guy was and the things that he was doing. So check out Creep and Creep 2. It's on Netflix. Great movies. And then, Chris, if you want to get into the next one.
Yeah. So this one, for me, I feel like not many people have seen the 2006 Black Christmas.
I haven't.
Now, have either of you seen this flick?
I haven't seen the remake. I've seen the original one from, I believe, the 70s.
So the 2006 one is incredibly, it's incredibly brutal. Now it's sitting with a 4.6 on IMDb, 22 Metacritic score. So not very highly rated, but I think it's very underrated. It's very brutal. It's about a Christmas Eve murderer who goes to a sorority house. That just sounds like a great horror flick, right? And neither of you guys have seen it. So it's a great slasher. Highly recommend.
There is a movie called Sorority House where that basically happens.
All right, so Trent, why don't you hit us with this one?
Just recently talked about the second one.
I did, and it's one of my personal favorites. One of the reasons why I think this is a sleeper underrated film is that I didn't even know about it until I'm randomly scrolling through Netflix one day and it pops up, The Babysitter. And we watched it. I talked a little bit about it in the previous episodes. It's just about a babysitter who's watching this kid, and it turns out that her and her friends are into like a satanic cult. But I haven't really heard anybody talking about this. It is absolutely over the top in terms of gore and the brutality of the film, but it's also a comedy. So it's kind of like what Scream could have been. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it has a lot of influences from Scream. So, but it's not quite as zany and silly as Scary Movie. And so then the second one, actually, they pulled a surprise and it dropped like two Fridays ago. I didn't even know they were making a second one. So
Yeah, they don't get a lot of publicity, but those are definitely Babysitter and Babysitter Killer Queen. Definitely check it out. Brandon, you've seen those, right?
Yeah, I can attest to that. I haven't seen the second one yet. I've seen the first one, and I remember checking it out randomly one night, just scrolling through Netflix as well, and I didn't really expect too much of it, but one of my friends had mentioned it to me, like, oh yeah, you should check it out. It's a pretty fun time. And as it started, I mean, it starts off like it doesn't seem like a horror movie at all, but then it really gets into like the ritualistic stuff and the gore, and it really took me back. I'm like, all right, well, this is way better than I expected. It's a fun ride.
Speaking of ritualistic films, why don't you hit us with your next sleeper pick?
Yeah, so this one, Halloween 3 Season of the Witch. Michael Myers is Michael Myers isn't in this film? Oh, well, that's weird. It's a Halloween film without Michael Myers. And I think that's the biggest reason that it's underrated. You would expect a Halloween film to feature their main killer, the one that's super iconic, Michael Myers, but this one actually decided to take a different path. So originally, Halloween was going to be a trilogy of a bunch of different like anthology stories, and the Michael Myers, the first one, was going to be just part one of that. But it did so well that they turned Halloween 2 into a sequel to that one. Halloween 3, they still wanted to stick with the concept of the anthology, so they made something completely different. And they have it so there's this giant corporation that's producing masks for kids to wear on Halloween night. But there's going to be a broadcast that's sent out that ends up killing everyone wearing the mask. It completely goes off the formula of any Halloween movie. It's surprising, honestly, and I cannot recommend it highly enough. It's a great film to watch during Halloween.
I just gotta come in here and say I was completely thrown for a loop. I have not seen this on Listeners, and he said they were producing masks to kill the children in mass. I'm like, what? That I was not expecting that. I'm gonna have to watch that. I'm sorry, I'm laughing you wouldn't about expect that, but that was just such a funny turn.
This is definitely a good example of how we're recommending underrated horror films, because I've not seen this one either, and now I really want to see it. One of the reasons I didn't watch it is because I knew Michael Myers wasn't in it, so I'm like, oh, I'm going to skip that one. But I'm going to give it a watch now.
No, it's definitely a cult classic. I would definitely check it out. Now we go back to time travel with this one, back to our time travel episode. Hit him with that one, Trent.
You know, I was really disappointed, because after we recorded that episode, we realized that we completely forgot this movie, which is Happy Death Day. There's actually two of them, Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day to You. So Happy Death Day is basically Groundhog Day, where a woman, like this college girl, is murdered. That's how she resets every day, that she tries to finish her day, but she gets murdered. This one, okay, why do I think this one is underrated? This one was in the movie theaters, but I think it's underrated because I don't think I know of any horror films that have the Groundhog Day element to it. And so even though it's not something that's truly original, I feel like it's original in the horror setting. So it's very slasher. But you also get the traditional like college kid horror movie vibes in it, set on a college campus. That's a really good one. Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day to
I think
you.
It's also a little bit underrated because it came out around the time.
Yeah, I need to watch that one. I've tried to watch that one a couple times. I thought it was a little campy, but I want to give it another chance because I've heard multiple people praise it, and I feel like if I really just watched it all the way through, I'd like it.
I think Happy Death Day is super underrated because it was around a time when Blumhouse was putting out horror movies constantly, like multiple per year. So it's a little bit much for them to expect a bunch of audience members to keep going back to different horror movies constantly. And I think it kind of just got lost in the mix. I personally love Happy Death Day. It takes a super interesting take on horror by putting that Groundhog Day effect into it.
Shout out to Blumhouse. Just what they've done for horror in the past 5 years is amazing.
They've really thrown it into the mainstream.
Absolutely. Well, let's get into one that's actually off the beaten path a little bit. Wolf Creek. This is a Australian horror film. And the reason I think this one's underrated, part of it's it being an Australian film, early 2000s, like you said, there was a lot of good horror coming out in the early 2000s as well. Not Blumhouse really, but I think it just kind of got lost in the mix. But basically it follows these three backpackers who are being hunted by this Australian guy in the outback. And it's based, quote unquote, on true events, actually, in Australia, the backpack murders.
Backpacker murders.
In New
South Wales. Everything in Australia kills you, apparently.
Yeah. 1989, between 1989 and 1993, seven missing young people ages 19 to 22 were discovered partially buried.
Damn.
Yep. So pretty good movie. I think it's good. I would recommend checking it out, Wolf Creek.
All right, one of my personal favorites. Brandon, take it away.
Yeah. So we talked pretty extensively on our last episode about Cabin in the Woods. This one does something kind of similar. Tucker and Dale versus Evil. It takes a lot of the tropes that are seen in many slasher horror films and teenagers going out into the woods and getting into trouble with the said slashers. But this one just completely boils down to a misunderstanding. So it's about two guys, Tucker and Dale, that buy some property out in the woods, this old ramshackle shack, just to have a little vacation home so they can get some time away from all the troubles in the world. But there's some college students that are also going out into the same woods at the same time that actually interact with them multiple times. First at a gas station where they make Tucker and Dale make a horrible impression of themselves on them. And the kids instantly think that they're like serial murderers. And then again, when one of the students, her name's Allie, falls into the lake and hits her head on a rock. And one of the guys goes in to save her. And they're like, "We have your friend. We got your friend." And all the other kids like start freaking out. But they're just two guys. They're two genuine dudes that are just trying to have a little vacation out in the woods. And these kids think that they're murderers. So they're going in and they're trying to get their friend back. And chaos ensues. They end up killing themselves, basically, in all sorts of wacky ways. And the two guys sum it up to, they must be doing a suicide pact. They're coming out here in the woods and they're killing themselves. We got to protect Allie from them. They're going to kill her, too. But completely subverts the genre. It's a great movie. So fun.
I feel like these dark comedy horror movies, like you said, the ones that subvert the drama, they're all the genre, they're all underrated.
They are.
Like, they just don't get mainstream audiences, I feel like. And I'm happy with it if they keep coming out with them, because I love it.
I think part of it is because like people see it and they're like, "Oh, it's just another typical kids go out to the woods and get murdered movie," and they don't give it a chance.
I have to say that I just watched this movie actually this week, and wow, I was in love with this flick. The wood chipper scene, man.
It's the wood chipper scene is hilarious.
It's just so funny. I would highly recommend it. It's on Netflix. Check it out.
Yeah.
So this next one is called Cry Wolf. This is a 2005 slasher flick. Have either of you guys ever heard of this flick?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Okay, so
same, never seen it.
Basically, they played this game, and it's called Cry Wolf, where someone's marked as a wolf, and the group tries to figure out who it is. And that person takes the wolf moniker very seriously and starts murdering people at this boarding school. It's a pretty underrated horror flick, just because I feel like most people haven't seen it. It's a traditional good old-fashioned American slasher flick. So if that's something in your wheelhouse, don't expect something groundbreaking, but it is a good flick, and I'd definitely rewatch.
Fun. So this next one, I think this kind of went under the radar too. Came out in 2007. It's called Trick or Treat. It's an anthology movie where it has a bunch of different short stories all happening on Halloween night. You have some kids trick-or-treating and what they encounter. You have this girl that's going to this Halloween party, and you've got some kids going into this haunted area to go to this cliff where these kids apparently died in a bus crash. And then you're following this one particular character named Sam, who is he's not the main character necessarily, but he's the most one you'd recognize, I guess, from like the actual box art of the film, who is a little sack boy, like a little monster with a sack on his head. So you follow all these different stories.
Little sack boy.
And they, a lot of them actually, a lot of them actually play on themselves. And like these characters will like kind of cross paths at points throughout the film, but their stories are not necessarily linked. But this is the perfect film to watch on Halloween. It represents everything that is Halloween night, trick-or-treating, going to parties, dressing up in costumes. And there are even, I mean, there's vampires, there's werewolves, there's ghost kids. What's not to love? And a spooky little sack boy.
I'm looking up the, I definitely recognize this movie from the cover art.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I looked it up, I'm like, oh, I've seen this around for sure. I need to watch this one. I don't know why. I think another thing why it's probably underrated is I look at it and I'm like, oh, that looks like a direct sci-fi channel movie.
It, you know what? I mean? Yeah, you're right. It does. And it's not super scary. Like, it's not necessarily a horror movie. It kind of does like horror comedy because a lot of the scenes, they'll have a murder happen. It'll be like super grim, but they're making jokes over it. And like, for example, I'll give you one as a little tiny spoiler. One kid dies. He's poisoned by some guy that has poisoned candy, and he goes into his backyard to bury him. And as he's doing it, he's constantly being pestered by his next door neighbor over the fence, like talking to him and yelling at him. He's like, and trying to get his attention while he's trying to bury this kid.
I'm going to have to check that one out. I haven't seen that one either.
Yeah, it's a fun one.
Yeah, cool. So the next one that I have is Summer of 84. 2018 film, obviously set in the summer of 84, and it follows this kid in a cul-de-sac that's kind of like a conspiracy theorist. So it's almost like the boy that cried wolf. Like, he's always got these crazy conspiracy theories, but he starts to think that his neighbor, who's a cop, is a serial killer because there's a bunch of missing people going around in his neighborhood. And so the movie is just about like him and his friends trying to figure it out. It's got like a kind of Disturbia vibe. But I don't think either of you had heard of this. This wasn't a movie that was released in theaters. It was like direct video on demand. The most recognizable actor in it.
It's straight to Netflix, right?
No, it wasn't on Netflix. I had to rent this. It didn't even come out on streaming. Like,
oh, I might be thinking of something else then.
Yeah. The most recognizable actor in it, his name is Richard Sommer. And he plays Harry Crane in Mad Men. So like the most recognizable actor is a side character that shows up sparingly in Mad Men TV series, but it's really good.
You know, I'm okay with that though. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's really good.
I like seeing actors I don't know play parts where like, I don't want to have to watch an A-list actor all the time and not be enveloped into the role. Cause I'm seeing that character. Like, I don't see the character. I see the actor. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like, it's better than Brad Pitt playing the role, you know? So exactly. That one's a really good one. It antes up real quick. So highly recommend that one. I don't think it's out on streaming anywhere. I'm telling you, I literally had to, I rented it video on demand. I don't even know how it came across my radar. It was random. But Summer of 84, check it out.
Well, this next one, I love this one. It's an anthology film. So meaning there's a bunch of short stories within it, similar to Trick or Treat that Brandon was talking about. It is called VHS. Now, it's been rotating off viewing platforms. I think it's still on Netflix. I'll have to double check that. But great film. I don't know if it's necessarily underrated because it does have multiple sequels, but it is a direct-to-video streaming film, so it may not have gotten the play of being released in a big flick. It actually was released at Sundance Film Festival back in 2012. So it was kind of a different take on horror, bunch of different little short flicks, each one independent, but all connected on the exterior because they're all videotapes that are found in this creepy-ass house that people are walking around in. So I thought that was an interesting little spinoff. Brandon, I know you saw this one. What was your, do you remember your favorite short in the first VHS?
Yes. Definitely my favorite one was the guys going to this bar trying to, or it was a club. I think it was a club. And they're trying to pick up a chick and they run into some girl that seems kind of interested in them, sort of. She's kind of awkward. She doesn't really talk that much, actually. And they kind of just like lead her back with them to their place. And it turns out they bit off a little bit more than they can chew because this chick is a succubus and wants their flesh. But I like that one personally. That's my favorite one.
I'm a big fan of the one, I think it's called 103198, where at the end of it, they're driving and there's a ghost that's followed them and they're like getting away from the house and the ghost appears in the back of the car and then they, like, the car shuts off on the train tracks and they get killed. It's insane.
That has always been like one of the worst fears, like looking in your back, your like your rear window, rear mirror, and like seeing someone in your back seat.
Yeah.
I remember short stories about stuff like that.
It's pretty scary. The VHS has spawned multiple sequels, but I would say the first one's one of the best, if not the best. Would recommend it purely based on the fact that it could get lost in the shuffle.
So this next one I'm going to talk about, it's called Eli. And I've only seen it once. It was a few years ago, but it's underrated because it presents itself as like a psychological thriller where a child is having random visions and he's also like, it's almost like Bubble Boy. He can't go outside because he has a super weak immune system and like the sunlight can kill him or some shit like that. Turns out that like this basically asylum that his parents move him into and they have caretakers for him trying to make him better with experimental drugs and everything. The kid is like a freaking like channel to bring back Satan or the Antichrist. Like it just spins, it flips on top of its head about 75% of the way through the movie. And the kid literally becomes the Antichrist and like kills his parents and the people that,
oh my God,
were even summoning him to begin with. It's fucking insane in the last 25% of the movie. And I know I just kind of spoiled it.
It's all that good, was my whatever. Bad.
But it's insane. It's insanity. Definitely underrated.
Yeah, I want to check that one out.
So this next one, please do yourself a favor and go watch this film, Reanimator. It's from 1985. It's based off a short novel from H.P. Lovecraft, and it's all about this mad scientist who is enrolled at this medical university that has discovered how to bring people, or not just people, but anything back from the dead. So what he does is he has this serum that he injects into corpses that have already been dead. He actually volunteers to work in a morgue to have little test subjects, and he ropes in his fellow colleagues unwillingly. That I don't think they knew what they were getting themselves into, but he ropes them into his experiments, and he brings a cat back to life. He brings people back to life. He even brings back a dismembered head that somehow has control over other zombies. But it's a really cool zombie flick that's super out there. The crazy doctor, Dr. Herbert West, one of the best characters in horror that I've ever seen, just unflinchingly just in it for the science. He just wants to bring things back to from the dead. Super fun film, super gory. Check it out.
Cool. I'll definitely check that one out.
Speaking of which, Reanimator is actually on Tubi that we mentioned earlier for free.
Yes.
Checking out Reanimator. It's right on there for free.
Yeah. It was actually on HBO Max recently, and I was trying to watch that while we were recording tonight, but alas, it's already gone. So I'm glad to hear it's on Tubi. I'll be going back and watching it there.
Fucking HBO is the worst of the streaming services in terms of advertising they have something and then taking it off. Like, I feel like that always happens with Harry Potter on there too.
Listen, they have Aqua Teen Hunger Force and that's enough for me.
All right. Next one. This one's super underrated because nobody knows about Quentin Tarantino's cult classic horror film From Dusk Till Dawn, one of the reasons why I think that a lot of people don't know it as a cult classic horror film is the first half hour of the movie is like a kidnapping ransom plot with Quentin Tarantino, who plays one of the main characters, and George Clooney. They play brothers. And what it turns into is they find their way into like this biker bar in the middle of the desert, and they stumble into like a freaking vampire horde. And the whole rest of the movie is them realizing that it's a vampire horde with multiple people that they bring into this bar, and them trying to fight their way out of it. And the practical effects, I mean, this is a Tarantino film, so you know that the gore is way over the top. And this is an older one, so there's a ton of great practical effects. The zombies, or the vampires look awesome in it. Have you guys seen this?
I have, yes. It definitely takes a left turn midway through the flick, but I'm a big fan of it. I enjoy it.
Somehow this one eluded me, because I'm a big Tarantino fan.
It is weird seeing him.
I just haven't heard of this one,
I guess. It's weird seeing him like on the other side of the camera and being like a main character, though. It is a little weird.
Nah, he always inserts himself in
this movie. But like,
this one, he's a main character.
He's like, very prominent.
Oh, okay.
He's not that good either as an actor. Yeah, like, I feel he's just like one of those. He's very, you can tell Tarantino by the way he just films his movies. Like, he thinks very highly of himself, which as a director, fair enough. As an actor, I don't know, dude.
I mean, he's made some of the best movies of all time. I'll give him a break on some shitty acting. It's all good.
All right. And so, this is also on HBO Max, by the way, From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give this one a rewatch. What's this next one, Brandon? I've never even heard of this movie.
So let me ask you a question, boys. Do you like Nicolas Cage?
Nicolas Cage is a national treasure.
I love Nicolas Cage. Hell yeah.
Then I think that you would love Mandy, because Mandy, the main character, is Nicolas Cage. And he is seeking revenge. He is fucking pissed. So there is a cult that hires a biker gang to kidnap his wife so that the cult leader can have her as his own. He ends up killing Nicolas Cage's wife, the cult leader does, and Nicolas Cage goes on a fucking killing spree. He goes through all the bikers. He goes into the cult home base. He kills all of them off. You want to see some of the coolest fight scenes ever? Nicolas Cage with a giant axe chopping someone's head off in front of a burning car. This man is on fire, by the way. Not Nicolas Cage, but this guy gets lit on fire. He chops his head off and then lights a cigarette on the dude's head. Another great fight scene, chainsaw battle. I'll leave it there. Go check out Mandy. Totally worth the watch.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I've seen the picture for that on various streaming services and never given it a chance, but I'll definitely give it a chance because Nicolas Cage is so hit or miss.
Yeah, for sure.
He is. It's very art housey too. Like, the colors in the movie are very vibrant. They have some psychedelic scenes. It's fun. It's a cool watch and very gory as well, of course.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and get into my next one. It's called Identity. It's from 2003. It is a psychological slasher. So I have, two sleeper slashers on my list here. And this one stars actually John Cusack and Ray Liotta. But I feel like it does not get very much play at all. And it's got such a disturbing ending. 90-minute runtime, so it's not too long. It's in that nice sweet spot. But I just feel like it's a little underrated. I don't know why, but I never hear about this movie. I never hear anybody talk about it. I never see it on any lists or ever mentioned. So thought I'd throw that on out there.
Yeah, I've never heard of it either. Speaking of Nicolas Cage, we've got another Nicolas Cage film on this list. It's called Mom and Dad, and it's about like
a double feature.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do a double feature of Nicolas Cage underrated horror films. This one follows two siblings, and the whole world turns into like this hysteria where parents violently turn on their children and they're just trying to murder them. There's some great Nicolas Cage just trying to murder his kids scenes in this movie. It's so freaking good.
I'm so on board for that.
Okay. You had me.
You know how he just makes the most ridiculous faces with his eyebrows and shit? Like,
it's so yes.
Good. Oh, yeah.
I want him to peer into my soul. Apparently, it's on Hulu, so check that one out.
Yeah, definitely do that.
All right, this next one I've actually spoken about before. I talked about it on our zombie episode, Dead Alive, also known as Brain Dead. Super over-the-top film. Super gory, like way gorier than it ever needed to be. Probably the goriest film I've ever seen, with some crazy practical effects. It's about a zombie infection that's brought back to New Zealand, and it takes a hold of this little town. Again, I think I mentioned this also in the zombie podcast, but there is a specific scene with a lawnmower, and I'm going to keep pushing that on you people until you watch it, because it's incredible. It's too much. It's way too much.
I want to jump in here and say, I looked this up. Peter Jackson directed this. And he's in it.
He did. I didn't know he was in it, but I knew he directed it.
I need to watch this. Peter Jackson, well known for the Lord of the Rings films, as well as the, 2005 King Kong flick?
I believe so. Have you ever wanted to see a baby zombie rip some woman's face apart from the inside?
I mean, I was begging for a baby zombie to rip its way out. I was begging for a baby zombie to rip its way out of Lori Grimes in Walking Dead. I never got to see that. So this might be like the next best thing.
It's absolutely insane. It's bonkers how gory and ridiculous it is, and it's funny too. There's some really funny scenes.
I need to figure out how to watch that. That's an older flick. I don't know. We don't know how to stream that one, so you may have to purchase that. But
last I saw, you had to actually buy it or rent it off of YouTube, I believe.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, next up, we got one. This one's on Netflix. I just watched this at Trent's recommendation, actually. It's called 1BR. This is a 2019 horror flick. I think it's underrated because it just came out recently, and the plot is... I feel like the plot might hit a little too close to home with everybody quarantining for so long, but it's about this chick who gets basically abducted once she moves into this apartment complex, and it's like a cult. And that's a very brief synopsis of it, but I would definitely recommend checking it out. The story is super interesting. How it plays out is super interesting. Yeah. I'd be interested to see another one, a sequel or a spinoff.
They leave it at the end up for another sequel. They definitely do.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see. I have a feeling we'll get some more content in that little universe.
Yeah. It's like a religious cult film, but not like in a pasture in like Switzerland. I feel like that's how all those religious cult films start, or like just some ranch in Montana or something like that. It takes place in like LA. It's really interesting. I added one to the list, guys, that I had just randomly remembered. It's called We Summon the Darkness. It starts off with this group of girls. It's like 1989, I think, and they're going to like a metal festival. Or no, they're following this metal band that's touring around the country, and the main actress is Alexandra Daddario. She was in the Percy Jackson films. More recently, you might remember her from Baywatch, opposite of Zac Efron. It turns into, okay, just real quick, this is gonna be a spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen it, but
or True Detective Season one.
Oh, she is in True Detective Season one. Yeah. So the entire time they're going to this concert, there's like background footage of like news stories about a serial cult going around murdering people. And they bring these group of guys back to their house, and they're like getting them all drunk, and they end up roofieing them. And it turns out that they are trying to get initiated into the main character's like father's church, played by Johnny Knoxville, believe it or not. And they're trying to get like initiated into his church that just kills like sinners that like demon music. It is absolutely insane. A bunch of great kills in the movie. Definitely got slasher vibes. It's awesome. And Johnny Knoxville is a treasure in this one too. He's really good.
And that one's on Netflix. Yeah.
Yeah. He plays a great, just full of himself, asshole preacher. It's so good.
I love watching Johnny Knoxville do anything. So I'm cool with that.
So now we're pivoting. That was our underrated sleeper horror picks. Now we're going to get into so bad they're good. So these are the movies that you love to watch despite how awful they are, specifically because of how awful they are. So we'll get right into it with Chris's first pick. And I love this pick, dude. It's a good one.
So this one, Halloween Resurrection. So this is one of the mini spin-off Halloween flicks. This one in particular was all about them doing a reality TV show on Halloween night inside of the Haddonfield house where he murders his sister and the one that he basically has always used as a base camp. So obviously he breaks out again and he murders everybody. And John Carpenter helped write this one, so that definitely helps. It's got Busta Rhymes and Jamie Lee Curtis. And it's got a horrible Metacritic score, but, you know, we don't listen to that here. All we care about is how ridiculous and absurd it is. So I ride for it. The reality TV vibe.
I can see why it has a terrible Metacritic score.
Yeah, me too, but...
I get it. From a critic's point of view, objectively... the film is garbage, but there are some huge standout points. Like when Busta Rhymes is straight up fist fighting with Michael Myers, you can't beat that. You can't write that shit.
Speaking of Metacritic scores, if we only watch movies based off the Metacritic scores, we would all think that The Last Jedi is the best movie to ever grace the Star Wars.
Okay. Completely, saga. Completely tangential statement here, but I met someone the other day and he made a comment he made a comment about Star Wars, and I made a reference to how bad The Last Jedi was, and he got really upset, and after talking with him for a second, he was like, oh, I meant Return of the Jedi. I thought you were calling Return of the Jedi bad.
And I was like, what the fuck?
That I was like, I would never, because he was like, do you hate Ewoks? And I was like, no, I love Ewoks. And then like,
look at me in the eyes and tell me you hate Ewoks.
Be like, no, I love Ewoks. I fucking hate porgs.
After a minute, he came to his senses. It was hilarious though. But anyways, back to our so bad they're good horror flicks. This one, Trent, did we see this one together in theaters?
Yeah, we did.
It haunts my nightmares, and not in a good way.
I think we did like a double date night thing with this, and it was an awful movie to pick. It was so bad. So this is, I love all the Texas Chainsaw movies. They even came out with like a prequel one that it was all right. It wasn't great, but this one is straight hot garbage. But I put it on the so bad it's good just because you have some great kill scenes, and there's one line specifically that is so cringeworthy, but I'll never forget it. So also, this is Alexandra Daddario. She's in this too. It turns out.
And I love her.
Yeah.
Wait. Before you go on, which one is this again?
Which what? Which
movie? I don't think you said which Texas Chainsaw this one is. Yeah.
3D.
Circa 2013.
So another reason, a lot of those... I'm sure that there's a lot of ones we're missing back in like the 80s because they were huge on 3D back then. There's probably a bunch of horror 3D movies. And so this one is just a little bit of a callback to a simpler time. But anyway, this main character, it turns out that Leatherface is related to her. And there's a scene at the end where he's like saving her from the evil sheriff or something like that. And there's like a long monologue he does as the sheriff's coming up to her. And then Leatherface comes out of nowhere and she's like, you go get him, cuz. And I was like, facepalm. That is the worst. Fucking.
It's the absolute worst line of any film ever.
So bad. Like, I can't imagine her reading that and being like, yo, is this seriously? Do you guys really
I can't even remember any other part of that entire movie because of how bad that line was. Like, there's not one part of that film that I remember. Someone told me recently that it was cool when he threw the chainsaw at the Ferris wheel, and I was like, I didn't even remember that. I repressed it because all I can remember is, let's get him, cuz.
That the chainsaw at the Ferris wheel and like the entire like romp that they have through the fairgrounds, that is pretty fun to watch. It is pretty cool to see Leatherface just running through there terrorizing people. But you're right, it's completely overshadowed by that one line.
Yeah, any modern horror movie with Leatherface and great just Leatherface terrorizing and killing people is gonna be good. But that line alone is why it's so bad. It's
so so I want to throw this out. That one's available on Hulu, and I didn't mention this, but Halloween Resurrection is available for free on Vudu. V-U-D-U.
Nice, nice. This next one I'm actually currently watching in the background on Netflix, and that's Killer Clowns from Outer Space. This one is a hell of a ride. So these alien clowns, I mean, they just look like clowns, but they're super disfigured and they have really strange proportions, come down in a UFO, which is actually a big circus tent, and they go around the town abducting different people. And so there's a bunch of different like missing cases. The cops get involved. People are trying to figure out what's happening. And it's completely ridiculous. Just the way that the clowns attack their victims. Objectively, it's a really bad movie. But let's be honest here. It's fun as hell to watch. Seeing the clowns go around town, like they'll duck people. They'll wrap them up in like cotton candy cocoons and like bring them back to their mothership. There's a scene where there's like a boxing match between one little tiny clown with big boxing gloves against a whole biker gang, and he punches some dude's head off. There's a scene where one of the clowns is on the street entertaining people with shadow puppets on a wall, and he makes like an elephant. He makes George Washington crossing the Delaware, and then he makes a Tyrannosaurus Rex, all the shadow puppets, and the T-Rex actually comes down and eats the bystanding crowd. It's so fun. It's ridiculous. It's over the top. You got to see it. It's a spectacle, honestly.
It's another one that I've seen throughout the years scrolling through. I've never watched it because I'm like, oh, that looks fucking stupid. But
it's ridiculous.
Now that it's got
go see it.
Now that it's got the Brandon seal of approval, I'm going to give it a watch.
Hell yeah. You have
this to. Next one, I will admit, is pretty stupid, but it's worth the watch. It's a 2007 flick called Funny Games. It's a psychological thriller. Now, the reason this deserves to be on this list and why it's so bad it's good is it intentionally breaks the fourth wall. And when I say that, I mean they talk directly to the audience, as well as at one point there's an altercation where someone gets shot and the other guy gets the gun from the person who shoots them. And he's like, shit, why did you do this? And he grabs the TV remote and presses rewind and rewinds the series of events. And then it continues forward and never references back to that moment. So it's things like that where it's just completely like, nope, we're not going to let that happen. And just moves forward. And it's intentional. So it's kind of funny, but it's just so strange and so bad. It's good for sure.
That one sounds good. Got a little bit of Adam Sandler Click vibes. So this next one, Rubber, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. It's about a tire rolling through the desert and through certain towns, and it literally explodes people's heads. That's the movie. It's a series of films that me and my freshman roommate Matt would watch. We would literally look for like the worst movies to just watch them and make fun of them. Another one of those is on this list coming up next. Actually, two more of them are on this list.
I do want to say, before we leave Rubber, I do like how there's like a crowd basically like on a safari being led along by a guide to watch this tire commit murder on different people. I think that's a super funny dynamic.
Yeah.
It's so, I mean, very weird, I mean, but yes.
You guys know why this is on. It's so bad, it's good. I mean, a rubber tire rolling around killing people. That sounds awful, but it's funny. It's real funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
So up next, I'm going to talk about a series. So I actually struggled to whether or not to put this on So Bad They're Good or to put them on just my underrated horror section. This is one that I feel like is a little bit of a crossover. It's the whole series, Urban Legend. So this flick came out in 98, and it actually stars Jared Leto, who, if you know, he is the lead singer for 30 Seconds to Mars.
That dude's a dick. I've met him. Anyway,
he also had...
Wait, have you really? Hold on. You've met Jared Leto?
Yeah.
He's an asshole?
I met him at a little fan greeting thing he did back at Taste of Chaos, mm-hmm. which was a a tour right when 30 Seconds to Mars was like first blowing up.
I loved 30 Seconds
to Mars. So they had like a little, they had a little meet and greet. They were great live at that show. And he was a total dick to everyone that came up to him to ask him to like sign anything. And then I ended up seeing him again at one of the Mardi Gras shows that they do at Universal. And it may have been the worst show I've ever seen live. He was completely plastered off his ass, was not singing anything at the right note, passing the mic out to the crowd for them to sing most of the songs. Such a disappointment. Fuck him. Anyways, I just burned all the bridges that we had with Jared Leto. Good luck.
It also features.
Now I'm glad he sucked as the Joker.
Listen to this, though. It also features Tara Reid. And then in addition to the younger cast, there's some other people on here, but I don't recognize any of their names. In addition to that younger cast, Robert Englund actually helped out in this film and played a role.
Okay.
Freddy Krueger himself.
Yes. So it's an underrated flick, I would say. Really, the whole concept is based on urban legends. And I know that's obviously in the name, but things like someone waking up and having their kidney removed, things like Pop Rocks and Coke, having a chemical reaction, that kind of stuff. So I don't know. It's a little campy, but it's a fun one. And I think it deserves to be on one of these lists at least. So I had to throw it on here because it's not necessarily good, but it's worth the watch.
So this next film, this whole series of films, like going back and looking at them, a lot of people could say they're so bad, they're good. Just because of like the effects that you had in the 80s. I personally think that, you know, we're talking about Nightmare on Elm Street, by the way. I personally think that most of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies are great. And actually, as I'm reading this, I was thinking of a different Nightmare on Elm Street movie. This is Nightmare on Elm Street Dream Warriors. And I am not as well versed in this one. I was thinking of the one where they are like doing a recreation of Nightmare on Elm Street on an actual film set and Freddy comes back, but this is not that one. Chris and Brandon.
That's Wes Craven's New Nightmare, actually.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, this is not that one. And I was thinking of a completely different one, and I don't even think I've seen Dream Warriors. So I'm gonna let you guys take this one away.
Oh, Dream Warriors. Such a pleasure.
Oh God.
So besides the first Nightmare on Elm Street, I think this is my favorite one because this is one where they just threw all the rules out. They just don't really care about being super serious anymore. So it's a bunch of patients at this psych ward, basically, that all have like kind of psychic powers that have been repressed. And Freddy decides to go after them in their dreams, but they have ways of kind of like battling against him. So I'm only going to mention my personal favorite scene, which is when he goes into the dream of this kid that calls himself the Grand Wizard or something like that, and he's got all these magical powers in his dream. He's like fighting Freddy back with like green lightning bolts and stuff, and then Freddy just like picks him up. He's like, this is my fucking dream, bitch, this is my world, and just stabs him in the chest. It's so good.
Oh God.
Another big shout out to one of the most famous Freddy lines that comes from this movie, when some girl's messing with this TV set that's, it starts to like static out, and she goes up and like starts hitting it and stuff, and Freddy's arms burst out of the sides of it, and then his head comes out of the top. It's, welcome to the prime time, bitch. Shoves her through the TV and kills her inside the TV.
That's one of the best lines ever from a Freddy Krueger movie.
So good.
Just reminds me of Rick and Morty. I'm Scary Terry, bitch.
Yeah. Honestly, this is when they started like bringing the bitch in like heavily with Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah. I love it.
I'll say
this is the next one. Oh yeah, no. Go for it.
I will say this about Dream Warriors. It's only on YouTube. It's $2.99 to purchase, but I would say maybe Welcome to the Prime Time might be worth $3.
Yeah, that's a steal as far as I'm concerned. Next one, super campy as well. Another series that kind of just said, fuck it, we're gonna do whatever we want from this point on. Leprechaun. So I have an interesting story. The first Leprechaun movie I saw was actually one of the first horror movies I ever saw, and that was Leprechaun 3. And that's when they go to Las Vegas. And I remember that movie scaring the hell out of me as a kid, because I must have been I don't know, 7, 8. And there's some graphic scenes in that film. And I don't think I was, I probably wasn't ready for it. This one, though, goes a little bit further beyond. This is Leprechaun Back to the Hood. The Leprechaun goes to the hood and, well, I mean, hijinks ensue. He's looking for his pot of gold and is missing golden coins again. One of my favorite scenes from this has to be when the Leprechaun is offered to smoke one of the dude's bongs. He takes a hit of it. He starts getting high with the guy. There's a whole scene of them just getting high together. And then he ends up, I think the guy has like one of his coins or something like that. And he takes the bong and stabs it through him and kills the guy with his bong. So ridiculous.
Death by bong. Oh,
I love the hijinks. Yeah, again,
these are just bad movies, but they're fun as hell to watch. It's definitely worth at least checking it out one or two times. And if you like it, hell, make it a tradition. Fuck it. Why not?
Yeah, for sure. Well, next up, this one, I wouldn't necessarily say this one's outright bad. It's not good, but I still know what you did last summer. Another slasher. I feel like I've been all over the slashers tonight.
Slasher man.
It's got Freddie Prinze Jr. and it's got Jennifer Love Hewitt. You're only allowed to be on this movie if you had three names. But no, in all seriousness, this one was funny because then the murderer from the first, you know, I Know What You Did Last Summer, which I thought was a pretty good, you know, old school slasher.
Not bad, not bad.
Murderer comes back, no problems. But really the selling point for me on this one is Jack Black as one of the main characters, Titus Telesco. He is the local island stoner party guy. He literally gets paid to party with everyone on the island. That's like his job. So, like I said, not good, but beautiful shots, good looking people getting murdered. It's a good time.
I will say, at least it takes a different scenery from the first film. Instead of being on like a port town, they go on vacation to like this resort island. So it does something different with it. It's kind of silly that they bring back the murderer from the first one who died and he basically comes back as a zombie in this film. He does that also in the sequels to this one as well. He keeps coming back somehow. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they get away with it, honestly, but this one is,
he continues to know what you did last summer.
Yeah, he'll never forget what you did last summer. That's what the last one should be called. I'll never forget what you did last summer.
All right, Shane, hit us with, or actually this is Brandon, excuse me. This sounds like a Christmas movie.
It does.
So, kind of. This is Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. This is the sequel to Silent Night, Deadly Night, which was a slasher film that featured a killer. So it was someone that dressed up like Santa Claus and he became a serial killer. This follows the younger brother of the main actor, or the serial killer from the first film. And it starts off with him in this pen where he's being interviewed by someone because I guess he's been committing some murders as well. He's fallen in the footsteps of his brother. And all right, so here's why it's bad. Let's just get right into why it's bad. The first 40 minutes of this film completely just recap and show the exact same scenes from the first movie. This film had such a low budget that they wanted to just kind of take what they had with the first film and just add a little bit more onto it and just throw it out there as a sequel. So, and you can tell, I mean, the acting is abysmal. The story itself is abysmal. There's really nothing there, but that's also what makes it so glorious. Just how bad it is. Such a train wreck to watch and unfold. There's a scene in here where it's some guy. So he ends up escaping and he goes on a killing spree again in this neighborhood. And he's walking around just shooting people out on the streets, basically. That sounds morbid, but it's filmed so poorly. It doesn't look like bad at all. And the scene in particular is some guy taking out his garbage to the curb. And he walks up to him, like, garbage day, and shoots him in the chest without the guy even being able to, like, to react to it. Oh, it's such a shit show. Please do yourself a favor and see this. You'll probably never need to go back to it. But man, what a gem.
All right. So yeah, that sounds ridiculous. Another absolutely ridiculous movie on this list. This is the second
in the movies that I was talking about, where with my roommate Matt freshman year, we would watch because we were like, this just sounds so awful. Return to Horror High. This one it's based on a series of grisly murders in a high school. And it's like years later, and this film crew goes to the high school to kind of like make a movie about it, but the killer returns. And the reason this is on my list is it stars none other than a spry 20-something-year-old George Clooney.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He plays like a cop that was murdered back in the day at the school. And the reason it's so good is he dies super early on. And when he dies, he gets like grabbed by the face, taken into a classroom. And then the shot pans out and there's just like a small little like window into the classroom and you see his face on it. And it looks like he's being gyrated on. Like it looks like he's being fucked to death. And me and my roommate were laughing so hard and we're just like, he got Clooney'd. And that just became a like all year he got fucking Clooney'd. It was so dumb, but that one's on my list. It's worth watching. It's so fucking bad, but it's worth it for the lulz.
I love it.
And then Brandon, this next movie you're about to talk about, this was our third one of our this one is incredible. Honestly, I'm gonna let you get into it, but this one is so bad it's almost not good. Like it was hard for me to finish this.
We saved the best or possibly the worst for last, and this is Troll 2. So this movie actually was originally supposed to be called Goblin, and it was not going to have anything to do with the original Troll, but producers were so worried that it was not going to succeed or see any traction at all that they decided to just slap the Troll 2 name on it and throw it out there as a sequel to the first Troll, which did okay at best. And it's about a family that switches homes with another family in a town called Nilbog for a week or something like that. And they go there and they're treated to a bunch of like, so they get there and there's a bunch of like food set on the table for them. Like, oh, please enjoy yourselves. Enjoy your stay. But there's like green goop all over it. So first of all, I don't even know why you'd be attracted to eat this food because it looks disgusting. There's just green goop all over the place. And apparently if you eat this green goop, it turns you into a plant. And all of the residents of this Nilbog place are actually goblins. And if you couldn't tell, Nilbog backwards spells fucking goblin. So it's pretty on the nose there. So it's all about this family in this town surrounded by goblins that are impersonating humans that are trying to get them to eat or drink certain things to turn them into plants so that they can then consume them because they only eat plants. This film is an atrocity. I don't know how it was made.
Where does the troll come in at?
So that's what I'm saying. It's actually meant to be called Goblin, but they thought it was going to do so poorly that they slapped Troll 2 on it because at least then it would get some traction from the original troll and get right off that.
Oh my God.
It actually has that nothing really to do with the original travesty. Film. It's horrible and it's a delight to watch unfold. It's got one of the best horror scenes I've ever seen, where this couple finds themselves in the home of this troll. Well, she's not a troll. She's a goblin. In the home of this goblin witch who convinces them to drink some of this green goop. And the girl starts turning into this plant and all the little goblins come out and start to like eat her. I think this is a scene that's been memed on so much that most people will know what I'm talking about. But it then pans into the guy's face and he's looking up. He's like, oh my God, they're eating her. And then they're going to eat me. Oh, my God. And it just lingers on him for an uncomfortable amount of time. And I fucking love it. I am in there for it. It makes me so happy.
This movie is literally a cult classic. It's beloved by so many people. I watched a documentary on it. And like they have a reunion like every year in New York, and the cast basically comes back and watches it with not the whole cast, but a lot of the cast comes back and they watch it with the fans and they do like a Q&A afterwards. It's so weird how much of a cult classic it is. And it's a cult classic because it's so bad specifically.
I think it's a cult classic similar to how The Room became a cult classic. It's just, it's so bad that you can't help but like be enamored in, by it. And like, you're just drawn in by how bad it is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if there's one of these so bad they're good films that we've mentioned today, please, please do yourself a favor and check out Troll 2. I don't even know where you find it, honestly. Hunt the internet down. Just look everywhere for it and find it. Worth it. Totally worth it.
Okay, so going ahead and wrapping this episode up, before we do, I do want to ask you guys if we each get one recommendation of, maybe not the bad flicks, because I probably wouldn't recommend that, so unless somebody asked me. So one of these sleepers, what recommendation would you give if you only had one out of our entire list here? Brandon, I'll let you go first.
Let me look over this real quick. You know what? I think mine would have to be Reanimator. This film is genuinely a very well done film. It was made by people who loved what they were doing. It takes the concept of zombies and does it in a totally different way with bringing them back to dead through this serum that's created. It's unique, it's gory, and it's fun. So that's my pick.
By the way, Troll 2, you can get on Cinemax. It's the only place you can get, unless you want to rent it on YouTube. But if you subscribe to Cinemax, then you can watch it there. Chris, what are you going to pick on your one recommendation?
So for my one recommendation, I'd probably say I'm going to go with Wolf Creek. Not many people have seen it. It's an Australian flick. I think overall, it's just very disturbing to have the idea of being far from home and being hunted by some fucking deranged person. So because of that, I would recommend Wolf Creek. Check it out.
So for me, I'm going to pick From Dusk Till Dawn. One of the main reasons is it's probably the most underrated, maybe one of the most underrated Tarantino films. It's one of Tarantino's, unless I'm wrong, the Grindhouse films might be different. I've never seen those, but his foray into horror. And it's such a bait and switch, but the original bait is so good. And then it just switches into vampire gore fest. So, that is one of the ones on here that I think is severely underrated and so good at the same time. So From Dusk Till Dawn, go ahead and give that a watch. And then I think we got one more quick question that somebody wants to ask.
So I have one quick question that I need to ask Chris.
Yes.
Imagine yourself, high school, we just had a little slumber party type thing and we woke up on a Saturday morning from the night before, still groggy. We decide to watch a shitty horror movie. And we pick one that we find randomly. Was I having a fever dream, or did we watch a movie called Slaughter Party?
We did watch Slaughter Party. It was
did we?
Horrible.
Because I can't find it anywhere. I don't know where to look for it.
It was so bad it self-deleted into the abyss.
I wasn't even sure if I saw it or not, or if I made it up in my head.
Yeah, that's like not even, you can't even give that one a rating. That's like F tier.
No, that's like something that was filmed on like a flip phone from the early 2000s.
Well, I do want to remind everybody, next week we're going to be doing an episode called Gutfest 2020. We're going to be talking about some of the nastiest, most brutal horror flicks. So if you like really gross, gory, bloody, nasty stuff, that's going to be next week's episode.
This is the one I've been waiting for. I can't wait for this one.
And on top of that, I also want to remind you one more time, please give us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes. It will really help us out a lot. It helps us be seen by more people, and we are trying to make this show big. So help us out.
Yep. Share us with your friends. We love you all. Thank you all so much for the support that you've been giving us so far. Good vibes.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks. Share us with your friends. For now, we're going to climb off this mountaintop, and we will see everybody next time at the summit of the Geek Peak.
Later.